As we start this new year, and I know we're already a half of a month into it, it seems like we're moving right along into the month. This is already our second Sunday. We want to think about growing in our love for the Lord, growing in love with God. You know, a lot of times people talk about how they fell in love. And like it just happened. Cupid shot them with the arrow, and they just fell in love. And they very quickly, usually after that, fall out of love. And they're not in love anymore. And sometimes that can happen to us in our relationship with God if we don't make an effort to grow in love with Him. There's an effort necessary for us to be able to continue growing. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 that was read, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now let me translate a little bit of that into everyday language for us. There toward the end, he's talking about the fact that the purpose of the leadership and the teaching that goes on in the church is to bring us to perfection, to maturity. And the way that that works is by, first of all, grounding us so that we're not tossed to and fro. We don't just believe everything we hear. We know the difference between truth and error. And then the second thing that's involved there is then we've got to grow up. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about growing. This year, I hope all of us plan to grow. We don't want to be at the same place spiritually in our relationship with God at the end of the year that we were today. Now, on the other hand, we don't want to be in a worse relationship at the end of the year than we are today. We want it to be better. That's what growing is about. There's an old saying that as soon as you think you're ripe, you begin to rot. And that's true of fruit. You ever notice the fruit? It'll only get so ripe. And once it's as ripe as it's going to get, you can leave it on that tree or that vine or that plant, and you can leave it there as long as you want to. It's not going to get any riper. Well, as long as we're growing and ripening, then we're getting better and better. But as soon as we think, well, I've peaked, I've reached the best I'm going to get, the only thing a piece of fruit does after it gets ripe is start to decay. And so we don't want to do that. We want to keep growing. Now, the great thing about it is as human beings, we can keep growing our whole lives. It never has to stop. A piece of fruit, it's going to get to a certain point of ripeness, and that's as far as it's going to go. But as Christians, we can continue to grow. If ever we reach perfection, then we can stop. You let me know if you get there, and we'll all follow you, okay? Like we all follow Christ, because He's the one who did get there. And so we're following Him. We're trying to reach for what He's already attained. And it's a constant process throughout our lives. And we've got to aim for that. Now let's look at the last part of that, verse 16. He says we've got to grow up in Him in all things. Sometimes we like to focus on just one thing or another thing and forget about other things. We've got to grow up in all things. Now we can't always grow up in everything all at once. And it doesn't happen overnight. But we've got to be working on it. We may need to focus on one thing, but that doesn't mean we forget the other things. We still keep in mind that we've got to work on those things too. But then verse 16, he says then, then the body is going to be working together. It's going to be joined together, compacted together. Not going to be split up, not going to be separated, not going to be divided. It's going to be working together because of what every part is doing. It talks about the effectual working that's in the measure of every part. Every part of your body has a part to play. And every part of Christ's body, the church, has a part to play. And he goes on to say then that by doing that, by us giving every joint, giving something, every part, giving its measure, we're working together, we're building together, and that makes an increase of the body. And it edifies the body in love. We've got to grow. And our growing will help the rest of the church be stronger. It will help build up the church and eventually help the church itself to grow as well. But it's got to start with me. And it's got to start with you. The church cannot grow if the individual members of the body are not growing. So this year, we need to work on what we're going to do to grow ourselves to help the body grow. We're working on trying to copy the original. Jesus was perfect. We want to strive for that. So we need to look at ourselves and see what is it that He's got. Look at Him and compare what did He do that I'm not doing. What did He have that I don't have? What did He work at? What was the difference between Him and me? So I know what I need to work on. In some areas, I may be doing real well in copying Him. In other areas, I may not even be close. Story is told of an artist who loved a particular painting, and they wouldn't let him come in. He wanted to make a copy of it, but they wouldn't let him come in and paint a copy of that masterpiece. So what he did was he would come and just for hours, he would just absorb every detail of that painting and just sit there and stare at it until it was seared into his memory. And then he would go back home and pick up his paint and get his canvas there, and he would start painting as long as he could remember what he had seen. And the next day he would go back and look at the painting again. And then he would come home and paint some. And he continued doing that, continued working on his copy of that painting until all the people who saw his painting said, "It is so beautiful. I want to see the original." And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to copy Christ so closely with our lives that when people see us, they see Him in us. And they want to see the original because they see what He's doing for us. We need to do that. And the only way we can do that is by growing. We need to grow in love with God. Let's look then at some questions to ask yourself about your relationship with God. And for some of you, you know these questions, but we need to keep thinking of them. It's like a lot of things, repetition keeps reinforcing the ideas and the thoughts in our mind of what we need to be looking for and what we need to be aiming for. So what do I hope to get out of my relationship with God this year? What is my hope? I hope that we do want to get something. Now, some people might say, "Well, I hope that God will bless me with a car or a house or more money or a job." Well, okay, that's fine if you want blessings from God. We all want blessings from God. But we're not talking so much about what do I want to get from God as much as what do I want to get from my relationship, the relationship side of it. We can have a good relationship with God regardless of the physical blessings that we have. And people who have all sorts of physical blessings can have a horrible relationship with God. They're not the same thing. Somebody says, "Well, if God will bless me, then I'll serve Him." No. We have to say, as Job did, "Even if He slays me, I'll serve Him." No matter what happens to me, I'm still going to serve Him. So what do I hope to get out of it? And be specific. Well, I want to have a better relationship. I hope so. But what about it? What about that relationship? Do you want to be better? And how are you going to go about it? Because that's the second part of that question. What do I hope to get? What do I hope to gain? What are my goals then? How am I going to reach it? See, I could say, I want to lose weight this year. And I do. Well, how am I going to do that? What am I willing to do to lose weight? Because see, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to have to stop eating all the things that I like. And I want one of those little magic pills that I can just take this pill and it'll make the weight disappear, or it'll make whatever food I eat not turn into fat on my body. I want to be able to taste it and eat it and then it just not do anything to me. So I'm not willing to do anything to reach that goal. I want to lose the weight. I want to weigh less. But I don't want to do what's necessary to lose the weight. So I said, well, I want to grow closer to Christ this year. That's a good goal. But what am I willing to do to get to that goal? Because I'm not going to get to that goal by sitting on the couch watching TV all day. I'm not going to get to that goal by going out partying late Saturday night and sleeping in Sunday morning. That's not going to get me to that goal. So I have to be willing to make the sacrifices necessary to get where I want to go. And then the letter C there is, what is the biggest fear I have about my relationship with God this year? You know, sometimes we can feel the weakness. You know how you feel when you... I think I'm starting to get cold. You know that feeling? You know, you say, something's not quite right. I'm feeling a little yucky. Well, sometimes in our relationship with God, there are some signs like that too, where we're starting to feel, we're feeling like we're losing something, we're missing something. And that needs to be a wake-up call for us. That should send a shock of fear through us. Wait a minute, something's wrong. It may be because of sin in our life. It may be because of a lack of growth. It may be because we're not fulfilling our responsibilities as a Christian. Maybe because we're not reaching out to others. Maybe because we're not living the life that we should in front of others. It may be any number of reasons. Maybe conflict with another Christian. All sorts of things. Maybe because I'm not praying enough, not reading the Bible enough, not studying, whatever the case may be. There are a lot of different causes, a lot of different things that are caused, that cause this, rather. A lot of different things. You know, when we get sick, sometimes it's a virus, sometimes it's a bacteria. You know, sometimes it's just, sometimes it's something we ate, sometimes it's an allergy, there are a lot of different causes to an illness. And it's not always the same. So we've got to figure out what it is. But what is my fear? As I examine my relationship with God and I look back at the last year, what were the problems that were there that I'm afraid are going to be worse this year, or that might be something that I struggle with? And once I know that, then again, the second part, letter D there, is what am I willing to do to avoid that fear? You know, if somebody says, well, I feel like I'm falling away. And last year they only came to church once every 2 months. Yeah, I bet you are falling away. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you willing to do to avoid falling away? Are you willing to make the commitment to come and be with the saints and study God's Word together with them? To sing and pray? Be in fellowship with them? Well, I just don't really feel like I'm a part of the church. Okay, what are you willing to do about that? Are you willing to talk to other people in the church about something other than, well, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, it's cold out today. Oh, well, see you next week. Are you willing to actually talk? Actually have a conversation and share with someone? Are you willing to go to the fellowship, like this Friday night, and spend time enjoying company with Christians? Or are you going to keep hanging out with those worldly folks out there? Because if you want to grow closer to somebody, you got to spend some time with them. Now, the old saying is, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I don't think that's true. The true one is out of sight, out of mind. That's the true one. You know, both of them, but, you know, that's the true one is, you know, somebody's out of sight for long enough, you forget their name. You forget what they look like. There's a picture, I saw a picture of somebody recently, and it was somebody that I didn't recognize them. That's not who that is. Sure enough, that's who it was. But I didn't recognize them because it had been so long since I've seen them. Been too long. Didn't recognize them. So what am I willing to do to avoid it? Am I willing to put in the effort? You know, and these four things that we're talking about here, these will work with any relationship you have in your life. It'll work with your parents or your children or your brothers or sisters or a husband or wife or, you know, friends. These things work. What do I want to get out of the relationship? What am I willing to put into it to get that to happen? What am I afraid of? How can I avoid that? That'll help with any relationship. Sit down and talk with that person. But we're talking about our relationship with God. We want, you know, God's not going to answer us back verbally, but we have His Word. And we already know He has done everything He can do. He has come as far as He can come. He has reached out for us. But we've got to come and meet Him part way. He can't do it all. Have you ever been involved in a relationship where one person tries to have the relationship and the other person doesn't want it? Have you ever been in one of those relationships? They're not fun for either person. I mean, I had a relationship like that when I was in about fourth grade. There was this cute little girl. I won't tell you her name just because. But she was a cute little girl. I had a big crush on her. And I thought she was the greatest thing since sliced bread. She liked my best friend. And she didn't want to have anything to do with me. Meanwhile, her friend that I could care less about had a big crush on me. My friend that she liked couldn't care less about either one of them. But none of us were happy with that. And she was she'd bug him. She'd chase him around the playground to play at recess. Try to give him one of her school pictures. And he didn't want it. And she finally just caught up with him and grabbed him and just stuck it down his shirt. And it fell out on the ground. I picked it up and took it home with me. I'm so glad I had a picture of it. She didn't give me that picture. She didn't get, you know, there was no real relationship there. Now, fortunately, at some point in my life, I realized that and moved on. But, you know, sometimes we have, those relationships don't work. Relationships have to have two sides. God has done all He can do. He cannot have a relationship with you unless you want to have a relationship with Him. You've got to come part way. You've got to make that step. We're right out of time, so let's quickly look at this second thing here. The four areas to set a specific goal. And Luke 2:52 is the verse that we note. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. 18 years of His life, right there in that one verse. He grew, and He grew, and He grew, and He grew. And these are the four areas we need to grow. And we need to set specific goals in these areas if we want to actually grow. Intellectual. Somebody might say, well, I wish I knew more of the Bible. Well, that's not much of a goal. That's a wish. That's not a goal. A goal would be, I want to memorize 10 verses this year. A goal would be, I want to read through the entire Bible in this year. A more specific goal would be, I want to read three chapters of the Bible every day so that I can read through the Bible in a year. See that? Then you're getting a specific goal. Or I'm going to get one of the read to follow it. Or, you know, I want to do the Bible studies that are in the bulletin, and I want to do that every day. That won't get you through the whole Bible this year. It's going to take about 2.5 years to get through that, doing that one, because it's only taking about 7 chapters a week, to 8 chapters a week. So it's going to take a lot longer to get through there than if you were reading 21 chapters a week. But, you know, be specific about that goal. Maybe it's, well, you know, I've got a friend who is Seventh-day Adventist, or I've got a friend who is Catholic, or I've got a friend who's gotten interested in this Muslim thing. I want to know more about more about that so I can talk to them about that. So maybe I need to get in our library over here and get one of the books that has some information about one of those things and find out what's the difference? What is it that they believe that's different from what we believe? Maybe it's just I want to learn how to evangelize that the Fishers of Men course. Today is the last day. If you're going to sign up for it today, either the morning or afternoon class. We need to go. For one thing, it'll help you know why you believe what you believe and what you believe, because if you're going to study the Bible through that course, it's going to help you be stronger as a Christian. And then it'll also help you to be able to, as Peter says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you the hope that's within you, because you'll have studied more. And you'll know how to approach them in a way that hopefully will be more effective than what you probably aren't doing now. Secondly, not only did Jesus increase in his wisdom intellectually, knowledge, not just that, but also in stature, physically. He grew up. Well, physically, some of us have some things that we need to take care of. We may have some health problems that we need to address. We may have may have some weight problems we need to address. May have some sleep issues that we need to take care of. There may be a lot of things like that we need to get on the ball with it, and be sure that we're on top of those things as much as we can be. The third thing, he grew in favor with God. That's the spiritual side. Spiritually, are we growing? We're going to grow spiritually. Your life, where is it? Do I even ever pray other than at a meal and say, well, thank you, God, for this food? And that's as much of a conversation as I have with him. Do I ever meditate on his word? Do I think about Bible verses? Read spiritual articles. You know, there are many of our Brotherhood publications that will, just ask, you can be put on their mailing list, and it won't even cost you anything. And you can read those things for free. Some good news things that, you know, a lot of these different papers, good stuff. You know, do you ever pick up the house and read some of the things in it? Are you growing spiritually? And a specific goal. You know, you say, well, I want to pray more this year than I did last year. Well, how many times you prayed last year? Would you know whether you prayed more this year than last year? You got to set a specific goal. You know, I want to be sure that I have spent a good 10 minutes in prayer every day, either, you know, when I get up or before I go to bed or whatever the case may be. And you say, you know, I'm just going to pray about things. I'm going to talk to God for a few minutes, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'm going to make sure I do that every day. You know, we don't have a problem doing that with other things. Children go off to college, their parents call them every day. Or they call their parents every day, a lot of them. You know, they can't get, I got to get back, I got to go call my mama. They do that. people that we get in a relationship and we do certain things with. We need to have that with God. And then finally, he grew in favor with man, and that's the social aspect. And we need to have that as well. What do you hope to gain socially? Do you want to make a new friend? Do you have a certain friend that you'd like to get closer to? Do you have a friend that you haven't really had a chance to talk to about the Bible or talk to about the church, and you'd like to talk to them about it? Well, what goal do you have? Again, we've got to write these things down, or it works better if we write them down, because this is what I'm going to do. Next week, I'll probably have forgotten that. But if I write these things down, this is my goal. And this is how I'm going to accomplish it. These are the steps I'm going to take. You know what? I'm going to lose weight, and the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to stop eating Bluebell ice cream. Now, I'm not saying that this is an example. I'm not going to promise to stop eating Bluebell ice cream. But if I say, you know, this is the way I'm going to accomplish the goal, we have to do that. We have to focus. But we need to pick something. Something that we know, hey, you know, this is an area where I'm really weak. Maybe I pray all the time, but I never study God's Word. Then maybe, you know, I'm okay on the prayer thing. I just spend some of that time listening to God rather than talking to Him. You know, a conversation that's one-sided is not real enjoyable a lot of times. That's probably why most folks don't enjoy sermons. It's so one-sided. But, you know, when we talk to somebody and we, you know, they don't answer us back in a conversation, well, again, God's not going to speak to us from a cloud. He speaks to us through His Word. If we never open His Word, we've not heard a thing He said. We can talk to Him until we're blue in the face, and it's not going to help if we don't listen to what He says about it. That's one of the problems people have now, is that they spend all their time telling God this and that and the other and asking Him to do things that He's never going to do because He doesn't want to do them. They're against His will. He's not going to do that for them. But they're busy telling Him this, that, and the other thing to do for them. They come into Him as though they're perfectly all right, but they study His Word. They know the first thing they need to do is repent and confess to Him their sins that they're living in the next stuff. But they're going to Him like they're just good old buddies. And He's not even listening. So I know He hears it, but no. Just because He hears it doesn't mean He listens to it. I hear a lot of the noise that the people call music, and I know y'all probably heard the same thing when I was younger, and I thought it was music, and y'all thought it was noise. Kind of a common thing for generations. But if you can hear it, that means you're listening, but you can't understand it. God doesn't just give us that. He's not a candy vending machine. He doesn't just give us whatever we ask for. We need to work on growing this year, but we've got to be specific. And if each of us will grow, then that means the church as a whole will grow. You know, it's an amazing thing about children, as you watch them grow. You never notice that this arm is suddenly 3 inches long as this arm. And look at it. They grow. They just grow. If you're with them every day, you don't even really notice it. You just all of a sudden you look and you say, the pants are too short. Your shirt's about to bust open like the Incredible Hulk. And what's going on? You're outgrowing your shoes. Your toes are busting out the ends. And when did that happen? It happens. They grow. Little by little, day by day, and we can do the same thing. You're here this morning and you haven't each responded to the invitation for any reason. You do so as a stand and as a stand.